Well, praise God. I'm going to ask that all the children ages third grade and under, I want you to come help me today. I need some ushers to come help me as they come up on the platform. All the kids ages third grade and under, as much as you think they can handle it under, come on up here, and I want y'all to come sit right out here in the front with me today. Hey, good morning, Allie. Good morning, Miss Samantha. Good morning. How are you? Hello, Peyton. What's up, Spencer? Good to see you today. Hi, Miss Autumn. Hello, Simon. Y'all come on up. We'll make room for you. Come on right up in here. Some of you ushers, come help me, or moms, or a couple of you that won't spook them. Jack, not you. Hi. Come here, Hannah. Want to come sit by me? Betty, you can sit here on the floor with her. Hello, precious. Hi. Good to see you today. How are you guys this morning? Good. So how many of you like to eat? Anybody like to eat? I like to eat. Okay. Do y'all do anything before you eat? Wash your hands. That's a pretty good thing to do. What do you do before you eat? What do you do before you eat? Spencer, what do you do before you eat? Hand sanitizer. Riley, what do you do before you eat? You play? You pray. Somebody say pray. So y'all say pray with me. Come on. There's a bunch of big kids in here today. What do? You pray. Now, prayer is just talking to God, right? You know, you can talk to God. Anna, you ever pray? Okay. Jesus said, can I borrow your mic? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'm going to talk to you about God's word, and it's like eating. Whenever we read the Bible, it's like eating food for our spirit. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray over the food before we eat it, okay? All right, let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes, fold your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's food for our spirit inside us. And Lord, we ask that you bless this meal to our bodies and help us to grow big and strong and digest everything you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what do you say at the end of your prayer? Amen. What do you say at the end of your prayer? Amen. What do you say at the end of your prayer? Amen. Amen. Now, last week I talked to you guys about something called faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith. Anna, what is faith?
Believing in God.
What is faith?
Believing in God.
What is faith?
Believing in God.
What is faith?
Believing God.
What is faith?
Believing God.
What is faith?
Believing God.
No, for real. Are you sure?
Yes.
If you're absolutely, positively, absolutely sure, I want you to say it as loud as you can. What is faith?
Believing God.
Okay, I'm convinced. Anna, what is grace?
Giving a free gift.
Giving a free gift. What is grace? What is grace? What is grace? Now, how many of you guys like free gifts? Oh, baby, we like our birthday. We like Christmas. We like to get free gifts. So what is faith? Believing in God. What is grace? Giving a free gift. Now, I've got my helper here, Anna, today. Anna, I'm going to slide you over a little bit closer to Daddy. And so today I'm going to play God, and Anna's going to play a believer. Anna's going to play a person who believes in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to take a marker. I don't want you guys to do this, but I'm going to do it. Do as I say, not as I do. And I'm going to write a word on my hand. What does that word say? What does it say?
Faith.
What does it say?
Faith.
What does it say?
Faith.
Okay, Anna, come here. Let me write one on your hand. Your hands are sweaty. Hold your hand up. Yeah, I wrote it upside down. What does that one say?
Faith.
What does that one say?
Faith.
What does that one say?
Faith.
Okay, so my hand is called what, Anna?
Grace.
And your hand is called what?
Faith.
All right, watch this. Grace is God's hand extended towards me. Who am I playing?
God.
Okay, and Anna's playing you. Okay, grace is God's hand extended towards me. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us where he paid for God's best so that you could have the very best God has in your life. And he died like this with his arms open, didn't he? He didn't die like this. He died like this. Why? Because he's saying, come to me. And he died with his hands open. Because when my hand's open, you can come and take something from it, right? So grace is God's hand extended towards me. Faith, put your faith up. Faith is your hand extended towards God. Now, God's hand is full of incredible things. God, I've got some incredible things here today. God's hand is filled with incredible things. God's hand is filled with all kind of promises. Somebody say promises. Did mommy and daddy make you promises? Do they keep them? Oh, you're nodding your head. I will talk to your parents after church. That's not teaching them God, people. So they make you promises, but God makes us promises, and the promises we can find in the Bible, okay? And God's hand is full of promises. God's hand is full of his best. Jesus bought and paid for it for you. How many of you like to go to Toys R Us?
Me!
You better believe it. I still like Toys R Us. I like Nerf guns. Anna and I have Nerf wars, okay? So here's the thing. What if I went to Toys R Us for you and I bought $1,000 worth of toys and I left them there and I said, all you got to do is go get them. How many of you would say, Mommy, Daddy, take us to Toys R Us today?
Me.
Right? Jesus has bought all kind of wonderful things for you, and God, your Heavenly Father, has his hand held out and he's saying, come and get one. Anna, I'm going to hold my hand out because grace is God's hand extended to you. And I want you to do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm telling you the word of God. I'm God and I'm telling you these are free and you can have them. What did you just do?
Take it.
Say that again. What did you just do?
Take it.
See, kids know things we forget. What did you just do?
Take it.
How did you take it?
Faith.
By faith. What's on your hand?
Faith.
Anna took that gift from God by what, church?
Faith.
Watch this. So she reached out, and here's Anna's promise. Anna's promise is provision, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So she gets a bag of Skittles. You're not going to be in want for colored Skittles this afternoon, right? Anna reached out by faith and took hold of what God's grace provided. What does my hand say?
Faith.
What does your hand say?
Faith.
Faith. Anna, I need you to pick a helper today. Go pick somebody out. Go out there and find them. Bring them to me. All righty, Miss Emily. Okay, now I'm playing God today. I'm not God, but I'm playing like God. And I'm reaching my hand of grace out to you, and I'm saying, here you go. You can take one. All right, let's see what you got. You got a duck full of Reese's peanut butter cups. That's pretty good. You want to share that with me? You want to share it with Mom? Okay. So your promise says purpose. Somebody say purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That's a good thing, isn't it? Y'all give Emily a hand this morning. You go sit down. You want one too? All right. Well, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, that's right. You believe in Jesus. Hold on. I'm going to need some handlers here. I'm about to get mauled. We're going to have a stampede. Don't underestimate children, I promise you. You can take one. Well, come here. Let's see what it says. What, you got a bunny. The starburst. I like that. This one says salvation, John 3:16. So you reached out by the hand of faith and reached into God's hand of grace, and you took salvation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, ma'am, will not perish but have everlasting life. Anna, will you pick another one for me? It's all girls today. God believes in boys too. You too, you too? Come here, Miss Lexi. Oh, okay. You can have one. You pick which one you want. You want that one? Let's see. Let's see. That looks like a carrot. It says healing. 1 Peter 2:24. By the hand of faith, she reached out and took hold of God's promise of healing that was bought by Jesus' blood, made available by grace, and obtained through her faith. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed in the name of Jesus. I just pronounce healing and health on you for all your days in Jesus' name. Okay, y'all give her a hand today, Miss Lexi. I need a boy. I need a boy. Okay, partner, come here. Here you go. Okay, you reached out and took forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, sometimes when we do things wrong, you ever done anything wrong that you shouldn't have done? Yeah. We need forgiveness. And here's what we do. We go to God and we say, Heavenly Father, I stole a cookie. I lied. I did whatever. I did this wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And God forgives you and He forgets it. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we tell God our sin, what we did wrong, then He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you, to wash you clean, whiter than snow. And we've had plenty of snow this year, haven't we? So we know what that looks like. Y'all give them a hand today. Jump back up in your seat, babe. So I've got a big basket full of candies here this morning, and I have a candy for everybody. If you didn't get one, I got a candy for you. So I want y'all to come here, and I want you to come get one and then go back to your seat. Oh, goodness. Like piranhas. Okay, grab one and go back to your seat. They're all the same. They're all the same. God's promises are for everybody. Everybody. Get one and go back to your seat. Okay. Grab one and go back to your seat. Here you go, Miss Hannah. Grab one. Okay. You want to deliver one? Here you go. Are you okay? What you got? There you go, partner. There you go. Y'all take one. Hey. There you go. Here you go. All right, now, we got one more thing. Did everybody get one? Everybody get one? So we got one more thing to do because here's, who am I playing today? Ronald McDonald?
No.
No. The Hamburglar?
No.
Did you get one? There you go. Okay, who am I playing today?
God.
Now, here's the thing. God wants you to have one, but you know what? God always gives you an extra. You know why? Because He wants you to give it to somebody else. So I'm going to give you another one today. Hold on. Whoa. Pause. But the other one's not for you. It's for somebody else. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can you give it to somebody else? Okay, come on. Quick. There you go. Good job. Miss Hannah, want to come reach your hand in the basket? There you go. What's up, Spencer? Did you get some? Get two of them for you. And give me five. Oh, yeah. Okay, everybody get two? Grab another one, Simon.
I got a blue and a yellow.
All right, a blue and a yellow. Okay, everybody get two? All right. There you go. All right, did everybody get two? All right, what are you going to do with the first one?
Eat it.
What are you going to do with the second one?
Give it.
What are you going to do with the first one?
Eat it.
What are you going to do with the second one?
Give it.
What are you going to do with the first one?
Eat it.
What are you going to do with the second one?
Give it.
Okay, go do it. Y'all can go back to your seats. Everybody get to. Would y'all give them a hand this morning? Amen. Thank God for our babies today. I love them so much. You know, I bet you that was a revelation to a lot of you. Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is free, but it doesn't make it automatic. What's your hand say?
Faith.
Hold it up. Come on. Come with Daddy. Let's go. I'm going to move you up. Moving on up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Good night, you're growing, girl. Okay, there we go. What does it say?
Faith.
Faith. You want to move back just a little bit? How about that?
Good.
Want to move over here just a little bit? What does your hand say?
Faith.
What does my hand say?
Grace.
Grace is God's hand reaching to you. Faith is your hand reaching to God. By faith, can you take things from God?
Mm-hmm.
Things Jesus bought for you?
Yes.
Do you deserve God's best?
Yes.
You know that because you get Daddy's best. Y'all give Anna a hand this morning. I want you to take a Bible this morning and I want you to go in it to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I want to share with you the Word of God concerning the subject of faith this morning. And I want to thank you for giving me the time and the liberty to spend with our kids today. I love children. I love investing the Word of God into them. At Victory, we don't play games in kids' ministries only. We do play games, but it's not about games. It's about learning God's Word. Amen. And so if you have kids, man, get them here on Wednesday nights. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That means, if we work it backwards, that by faith, it is possible to please Him. As a matter of fact, there is no other way to please God than by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God, he who comes to God. If you're living by faith, you go to God. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. Somebody say rewarder. We like rewards, don't we? That He's a rewarder of those who diligently, somebody say diligently. Not haphazardly, but diligently seek Him. Faith gives me the ability to know God. Faith gives me the ability to know God. I want you to say that with me this morning. Faith gives me the ability to know God. Now, the apex of everything we do in this life is for one reason, and the peak of all we will achieve is to know God. Everything flows from that relationship. Until that relationship is right, nothing else in our lives will be right. So when we talk about faith, what we're really talking about is knowing God. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. You wouldn't go to Him unless you believe that He's there. And we can see Him everywhere we look. Amen? We can see Him in a sunrise. You can see Him in a fingerprint. If you've ever cracked open an orange and you look at it and the intricacy and the arteries inside that thing, you know that there is a God, and that could not happen by monkey slime crawling out of some farm pond and morphing its way into that thing, right? Speaking of monkey slime and pond scum, man, when you know that a big hairy hillbilly like me could get together with that and produce these two, you know there's a God. Amen? But here's the deal. Faith gives me the ability to know God, not to get stuff. That's a byproduct of knowing Him. We've got to get to the point where I'm seeking His heart and not His hand. If I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall not be taken away, but shall be added unto you. We serve a God of increase and we serve a God of addition. Faith begins with knowing God. Faith begins with knowing God. Where does faith begin? And here's the deal. We don't trust people we don't know. So if you don't know Him, no wonder you find it hard to trust Him. We don't trust people we don't know. The more I know a person and the more I know about the person, the more I can trust in the person. Faith, very simply put, is trusting God. And when you trust God, that's faith. Faith is trusting God. And when you trust God, that's faith. And we trust Him because we know Him. We know his character. We know his personality. We know his behavior patterns. We know his nature. Anna, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, what does it say?
Walk by faith, not by sight.
You're chewing Skittles. Come on down here. Let's go on the floor. Okay, did you swallow your Skittles?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your bow?
I don't know.
Can I wear it? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, what does it say?
Walk by faith, not by sight.
Say it again.
Walk by faith, not by
sight. We walk by faith, not by, pay attention to what I'm saying, not what's on my head. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we're used to walking by sight. What I see tells me where to go, tells me where not to go. Anna, you trust me? Do you trust me because you know me?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to close your eyes. Do not peek. I mean it. Don't peek. You trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's go, 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 let's go. What's up, Shirley? Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go this way. Let's go. We walk by what? What do we walk by, Anna?
Faith.
Not by
sight.
Can you see?
No.
You better not be cheating. Oh, see, now you're relaxing. The farther we go, you're relaxing. Your step's a little easier. Because you trust me, you're getting to know me, you're getting to know a feel for my hands on your life. And that's what the Father does with our lives. When we can't see, he can. And so she's trusting me that when she doesn't see, she knows I can. And because she knows me and because she trusts me, she knows I'm not going to lead her right smack dab into a wall. And it's the same with our Father. Would y'all give Anna a hand today? I'm not going to finish the service with that. They will be talking all week. We walk by faith, not by sight. I trust God to see when I can't see. I trust God to see what I can't see. Do you know God? That's what I'm getting after this morning. I want to dig in your business. Do you know God, or are you just coming to church? This is where we've got to be. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You want to quote right when you load up your mouth. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. What does it say?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
That was good. Do one more time for me.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Trust. Thank you, baby. High five. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, we trust with our heart, not with our head. Faith does not live in your head, it lives in your heart. You cannot live and walk by faith and live led by your head. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Stop leaning on your own understanding. That's the opposite of what we do. Stop living led by your head because your head is dead. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What's that word in the middle of acknowledge? Know him. In all your ways, know him, and he shall direct your path, just like I did for Anna, straight. Your heavenly Father will do the same thing for you that I just did for Anna. And as he does, the farther you go, the more you'll relax. The faster you can walk, the more fluid you will become. In the beginning, she was moving like a robot. I knew where I was going. She didn't. But the more we do that together, we become no longer two, but we move as one. And that's exactly what God the Father wants to do with your life. And you've gone through times and seasons where you have felt like you moved with God as one, but then things happen, life creeps in, you let your head take over again, you let your heart stop believing, and then all of a sudden he's going that way and you're going this way. I'm talking about coming to a place where you know God in such a way that not every once in a while, but every single day, you're moving as one. In him I live and I move and I have my being. So that when God says jump and we don't, It's because we don't trust him, and we don't trust him because we really don't know him. He said in Jeremiah 29, 11, he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." If we knew who it is who's calling you to step out of the boat and step onto the water, then you wouldn't be able to obey him fast enough. Because Hosea 4, 6 says this, "My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because they don't know me." See, God's got a bum rap. The devil's convincing you that he hears your neighbor's prayers, but not yours. The word works for your neighbor, but not for you. The promises of God are for your neighbor, but not for you. God accepts your neighbor, but not you. Your neighbor can pray great, but not you. And here's the thing, he's telling your neighbor the exact same thing, and we all sit there twiddling our thumbs, wondering and waiting on God when he is doing the same waiting on us. Jesus did everything he's going to do for you by sending his son Jesus Christ to the cross for you. That was grace. This hand never closes. Now he's waiting on you to come by faith and reach out and take hold of what Jesus has bought for you. Can you say amen? Faith gives me the ability to know God. Faith in God begins with faith in his word. Faith in God begins with faith in his what? Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Would you go there? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You having fun?
Yes.
You want to stay with Daddy or you want to go sit down?
Stay.
Okay, good. I like having you up here with me. Faith in God begins with faith in his word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says this. It says, "So then, faith comes by hearing." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? It comes by hearing what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. The first thing you've got to settle in your mind is that the Bible, absolutely, positively, eternally, is God's word. That's where everything begins. Some of you think this is foundational, it's elementary, you've already got this down. Well, then why were you still struggling last week? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing again. Just because you've read it once, just because you've heard it once, just because you quoted it once, just because the preacher preached on it once, doesn't mean you got it. See, it's not what we believe, it's not even what we know that matters, it's what we act on that matters. Because we're not after information. This is not a book club, and I'm not here to meet with you every week to go over what chapter we all read together this week. We're not after information because knowledge puffs up and fills people with pride. There are plenty of brain-dead theologians out there that don't have a lick of faith in their life. And there are plenty of people who are totally uneducated and what the world would call ignorant, but they know the God in the pages of this book, and they trust him, and they have a mountain-moving faith, a force called faith on the inside of them. That's why the religious leaders looked at Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and they said that we could tell you're ignorant and you're uneducated, but they had been with Jesus. They had been with the living word of God. That's why every single week we come into this place, I'm not letting you out of here until we open the book and get inside of it, because this is where we meet with Jesus. This is where we get to know Jesus. And as we do, our lives are not just informed, but we're transformed. I thank God today that the gospel doesn't make me better, it makes me brand new. Amen. So the Bible is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this: every part of Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed it, and it's useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. The Bible is God's word. Anna, what is the Bible?
Word of God.
The word of God. Where can I find the word of God?
The Bible.
In the Bible. They go together. Next, God's word is absolute truth. Somebody say absolute truth. In other words, it does not contain truth. It is truth. It's absolute truth. It's not relative truth. And this is what you hear about a lot in today's society. It's not situational truth. It's not my truth. It's not a different truth for you and a different truth for you and a different truth for me. It's not true in part, but it's true totally, completely. It is eternally true. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 160, the entirety of your word is what? Truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heaven. Your word is settled in the heaven. Psalm 138, 2. For you have magnified your word above your name. Listen, church, his name is the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But the Bible says he magnified his word above his name. Here's what that means. If his word's good, his name's good. And if his name's good, his word's good. Can I tell you today that God is good? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever today. And his name is good and his word is still good. He's not up one day and down the next. His mind doesn't change about you. He said it and that settles it. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. Faith in God begins with faith in his word. If I'm going to have faith in someone's word, then I need to know three things. I need to know, number one, who's talking to me. Number two, I need to know what did they say. And number three, I need to know what's their track record of keeping their word. So let's take any random person, for example, Anna. And if I'm going to say, do you have faith in Anna? Then here's what I've got to know. I've got to know, Anna, where were you last night at 10 o'clock?
Bed.
Bed. I've got to know, Anna, what did you say? I got to know who Anna is. And I've got to know what is Anna's track record of keeping her word. Same with God. Let me show you who God is, what he said, and his track record. Psalm 89:34, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I love this one, Joshua 23:14 and 15. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass. Watch this. Not one word of them has failed. Isn't that good? Numbers 20, isn't that good? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Romans 3:4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. God says what he means, and he means what he says. Would you give God praise this morning that that's true? Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. If the Bible says it, I believe it. If the Bible says Noah built an ark, then Noah built an ark. If the Bible says Jesus is coming back, then Jesus is coming back. Amen. If the Bible says, given it shall be given to you, then I believe that's exactly what will happen the way God said it was happen. No matter how ridiculous, no matter how absurd, no matter how far outside the bounds of what's normal it might seem to you, I believe it just like he wrote it. 40 writers, but only one author. Thousands of years to write. It's the best-selling book of all time. Long after its critics are dead and gone and buried, the Bible still marches on stronger than ever before. And so if Jesus bought it, you can have it. The Bible says Abraham was fully convinced. Somebody say fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what God promised, he was fully able to perform. He believed that God was able to do what he said he would do. In other words, if God said he'll save you, then he will. If God said he'll set you free, then church, That's exactly what he'll do. If the Bible says that he's adopted you and embraced you and accepted you because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then it's a finished fact and it's already done. If the Bible says that his love never fails, then that's exactly what happened. If the Bible says that in the last days, the days we are living in, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, then that's exactly what he's doing today. If the Bible says that Jesus became sin, my sin, who knew no sin, so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ, then that's exactly what's happened, and he's placed me into right standing. If the Bible says that he became cursed, so that the blessing of Abraham, who believed that God was able to do what he promised that he said he could do, that blessing comes on my life, then that's exactly what I'm walking in. I'm not trying to get the blessing of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm already walking in the blessing of God. If the Bible says you're special and you're chosen and you're holy and that he is able to give you the victory, not one time but every time, not one day but every day, then that's exactly what he's doing. If he says that he's building and preparing a place for you, a mansion in glory, bright and fair, then can I tell you that DeWalt air nailers are going off in glory this morning, because he's studding out a home for you and for me, and it's going to have his name over the top of it. Hallelujah. This isn't the words of a man. This is the word of God. See, faith does not come by what you think. Faith does not come by what you think. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what this book says. Faith does not come by what you feel. It doesn't matter what you feel. Your feelings will lie to you. Faith doesn't come by what you've experienced, because let me tell you, baby, the Bible says that God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or think. What you have been through is not even eclipsing the glory of what he wants to do in your life today and tomorrow. Hallelujah. And Jesus, your Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith doesn't come by hugging trees and whispering in the woods. Faith doesn't come by sitting on a sofa with Oprah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing again by the word of God. Hallelujah. So people, so people who know the word are people who know God. People who know God are people who know the word. Faith comes by hearing. Faith flows from hearing. Faith grows from hearing the word of God. Faith knows the word of God. I've got to get into a place where daddy's voice is the strongest in my life. I tell you every morning I take you to the bus, what do I tell you?
Today is the greatest day of your life.
Today is the greatest day of your life. My life radically changed when I stopped listening to all the other voices and I let this become the loudest and strongest voice into my life. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. It just matters what daddy says about you. Why don't you spend less time on Facebook and spend your time with your face in this book? Amen? Because daddy wants you to know who he is. It's in the pages of that book that I meet with God face to face. It's in the pages of that book that I feel the breath of God. I feel it right now. I feel the breath of God breathing on my life. You say, God, show me your face. He says, look into my word. You say, God, I want to know you more. He says, turn the page. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 declares, for all the promises of God. Somebody say all the promises. How many of them? How many of them? How many of them? How many of them? Not for your neighbor. How many of them for you? Say, that's for me. All the promises of God. All the promises of God in him are yes. He's already said yes when he sent Jesus. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Watch this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wouldn't have known about salvation except for stumbling across John chapter 11 verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I would not have known
about the healing power of God if it hadn't been for Isaiah 53:5, that he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities, and by his stripes I am healed. I wouldn't have known about a life filled with supernatural miracle working power to propel me into his plan for my life had it not been for Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, miracle working power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me. I wouldn't have known about purpose unless God had said, I know the plans I've got for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to do you right and not to do you evil, plans to give you a future and delete your past. I wouldn't have known about the protection of God hadn't it been for Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I wouldn't have known about authority had it not been for Luke 10:19, that says, you shall have all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I wouldn't have known about God's authority had it not been for coming across Matthew 16, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I wouldn't have known who's on the inside of me had it not been for 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I wouldn't have known about his joy, but had it been for Romans 14:17, that the kingdom of God is not just about pages and letters, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have known freedom from fear had it not been for 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have known I was delivered and set free. I'm not trying to get the victory. I've already got it had it not been for Colossians 1:13. He has, past tense, he has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. I wouldn't have known I'm free had the word not have said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I wouldn't have known my failure wasn't final had it not been for the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God said, my grace is sufficient for you, but faith came by hearing, and hearing by the almighty word of God. Come on, get on your feet and give God praise for a book that's never died, for the incorruptible, eternal, ever-living, everlasting seed of the almighty God that has the power to save your life and set you free. Watch this. Watch this. If it were not for this book, some of y'all look at me and act, you're like, what is wrong with him? Watch. Maybe this is new, church, like this is new to you, but can I tell you, I'm going to go as far as to say, Jesus wants you to be excited about his sacrifice. He wants you to act like he did something for you. Had it not been for this book, I wouldn't have any confidence. I wouldn't have any understanding. I would have no knowledge. I wouldn't see anything beyond what lies in front of me. But the Word of God, it opened another realm of possibility in my life. And the day I was born again, Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, my eyes popped open and scales fell off of my eyes, and I began to see things God's way, and all of a sudden my life began to make sense, not because of the words of a man, but because of the word of God. And as I read this book, as I get in the pages of this book, as I follow this book, as I obey this book, as I spend time in this book every single day, there is something on the inside of it that is infecting my life, and it's rising up in my heart. Something that is crying out, something that is saying, I refuse to settle for anything less than God's best, because that is what Jesus bought and paid for at the cross of Calvary, and I refuse to let his sacrifice be in vain for my life. I'll reach out by faith and take hold of every gift God's grace is made available to me. That's why we pray with boldness and with confidence, not because of arrogance, but because a prayer with anything less is an insult to him. Thank God today that through the blood of Jesus, we can approach the throne room of God. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Leslie, people who know God are people who know His Word. Daniel said it like this. He said, the people who know their God shall be strong, Blair, and they'll do great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and they'll do incredible things for God. I want to do incredible things for God, not because I could care less about me, but I want to honor Him. I don't want His grace towards me to be in vain. I want to have something on the day that I stand before Him and I touch the piercings in His hands and I see His side and I look upon His feet that were pierced for me. I see where the crown of thorns have been pressed into His brow. I see the ultimate sacrifice and the ferociousness of His love for me that was able to look at me and love me when I didn't love myself. On that day, I want to be able to hand something to Him to show for what He's done for me. And here's the thing. Steve, Satan can't attack the Word because the Word can't change. So he attacks you. Can I have 2 minutes? He's counting on you to be ignorant of what God said. It was Napoleon Bonaparte that looked at a map and took his finger and circled China. And he said, there lies a sleeping giant. If she ever wakes, she'll shake the world. Can I tell you today that Satan is taking a long bony finger and he's encircling the church of Jesus Christ and he's saying, listen, boys, there lies a sleeping giant. If she ever wakes up, if she ever finds out who she is, if she ever understands the mighty army infused with the authority of Almighty God, if she ever understands the thunderous echo of her praise in the spirit realm, if she ever understands the gift of the name of Jesus, if she ever understands the power of the blood of Jesus, if she ever understands the authority of the Word of God, then there's nothing we will ever do to be able to stop her. That's who you are. Wake up, mighty sleeping giant. Wake up, mighty warriors of God. It's time to rise. It's time to shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of God is risen in your hearts. I feel something inside. Faith ought to be getting up on the inside of you. Anybody feel some faith this morning? It's not faith unless you do something with it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is where it all starts. Whoever believes in Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Savior of man, the Jesus who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, was born of a virgin named Mary, lived a sinless life to trade you for your sinful life, died on the cross, not for His mistakes, but for yours. He became cursed so that you could be blessed. Everybody has sinned. Everybody's blown it. Everybody's made mistakes. That's why Jesus is a universal answer and cure to the problems that ail humanity. If you're lonely and you're empty and you're longing and you're looking today, you've looked everywhere else. But this morning, I came to introduce you to the answer, and His name is Jesus Christ, and there is salvation in His name. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I walked with God at one time, but I've walked away. I've let life creep in and crowd Him out. If that's you here today, listen, Daddy's arms are still open wide. He's the Father that's always home, and He's saying, come to me today. I'll receive you right where you are, but I'm not going to leave you the way you are. Come to Him today and surrender. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to slip up your hand. Josh, today I'm ready to call on the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Josh, that's me this morning. I thank you. 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 Is there somebody else today? I thank you. Is there another one here this morning? Why wait till tomorrow when you can settle where you'll spend eternity right now? I see you. Just a moment longer. 5, 4, is there somebody else? 3, 2:1. How many of you are already saved? Raise your hand. Y'all remember what this day was like? Man, you guys ought to get excited because you know what change is about to happen on the inside of them. For those who raised their hands today, church, let them know how proud of them you are. That takes a lot of courage. Everybody raise your hands. We're going to pray together. Heavenly Father.